Wilma. Yes.
And Tiffany's the last.
And Mary Jane.
From piratepods.com. And we're here this evening with...
Lee from The Problem Being.
We're all not to punks no more.
My first and foremost question, what are you wearing?
At the moment, I'm wearing my black fisherman's hat, a very nice jacket I've got in Camden Town, with a sort of blazer with a zip running around the lapel, which is very sexy, and a black long sleeve t-shirt, and my scarlet tartan tie, and my screwed up pinstripe trousers and buffalo boots. I'm wearing virgin underpants.
Wow.
Black, of course.
LBC Radio said that you, The Problem Being, is one of the most interesting and promising bands to come out of the London Underground circuit.
Yeah, so, not to be confused with the London Underground tube system, yeah. we've hit the right note. Bit of a zeitgeist thing, I guess. You know, it's a bit of a reaction to the current London overground scene, which is primarily a bunch of bands that seem to be called the something or other, and it's just really boring, and it's all very indie guitars and sort of a nod and a wink to the 60s and 70s. I'm thinking, well, it's about time we move beyond that, you know. I mean, we as a band kind of do sort of pick and choose from sort of the 80s and 90s and stuff, but we don't look backwards, you know. We're not a retrospective band. We like to look forward, and I think that, you know, because the people in the band, you know, we're all pretty pretty much from the underground scene. Kind of a bit tired with the underground scene, to be honest, as well. So we just kind of reacted against everybody. I mean, what The Problem Being is a good old-fashioned, good old moan, really, against current situation in music in this country, which is pretty much dire. So we decided that we had to put something together that kind of reflected our discontent. And some people see us and they just get it, I guess, because they're also disillusioned. And I think that's why we got such a good review on that score.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, if you had to write a 30-second television advertisement for your band,
mm-hmm.
what would it look like and sound like?
A bloody mess. it would be pretty glitchy, and well, the kind of thing I look for is kind of very messed up, futuristic kind of broken perfection. Something like that. It would be pretty messy anyway, because I like sleek things, but I like sleek things to be a bit screwed up and such.
Well, that makes absolutely no sense to me, but keep going with it.
Good, we'll get somewhere. Absolutely. Oh, good. I'm here to confuse.
That's good. So then, if you had a band motto or a slogan, what would it be?
Well, we had a few ideas for an album title banding around, and one I liked was another victory, and we are ruined. I like that. It's an old saying from a Greek king who managed to finance a war, and it was evident they were going to lose, but they sent all their army in and defeated the enemy in one big war. But then obviously everyone died, and then they got completely smashed by the next wave of the army that invaded. So it was from that kind of historical influence. I like that, so I kind of identified with that.
You also have the great quote from Margaret Cho on your website.
Yes.
About the revolution and everyone having self-esteem.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we live in a victim society, and I think that people waste their opportunities in life by accepting that as their fate. I don't adhere to that at all, and I think that we need to start thinking new ideas. You know, I like Margaret Cho's words. I don't think she's particularly great comedians, I have to say. But I think, you know, people like Bill Hicks, people like that, they have a major influence in my thinking, you know. Also Robert Anton Wilson, who wrote Cosmic Trigger, is another great influence. A lot of authors like that, William Burroughs. There are so many quotes from so many great minds that we would always love to use in quotes and as our influences, but sometimes you shouldn't wear your influences too clearly on your sleeve, because otherwise people think you're derivative. Yeah. But I think it always makes up your character. So, yeah. Me waffling.
Well, speaking of influences, let's talk about anti-influences. What do you think is the worst pop song ever written?
Oh, well, there's so many to choose from.
you can only pick one. It has to be the ultimate worst.
Of utter rubbish that we are forced to listen to on TV, on the radio, everywhere, adverts, you name it. I mean, Justin Timberlake made a fortune from that awful "I'm loving it" thing on McDonald's adverts and stuff like that. To me, that shows no sign of integrity in music whatsoever, no musicality whatsoever. This whole furore about Britney Spears releasing a new song, it's like, well, why? You know, it's going to sound like the last one anyway. And I just find that, you know, all these bands and all these groups that release all these trivial pop songs, which are just, they have no integrity, and they have no particular musical ability that I can see. And it's very, very, very derivative, and it's all been done before. And I find that that's sad. You know, people aren't willing to push boundaries. They're just willing to sit back and listen to anything that seems a good role model for their children. But when, as Bill Hicks would say, was banality a good role model for your children? And I think that's true. Mm-hmm. So I couldn't name anyone in particular, but, you know, I could probably name you 1,000, if not millions.
But what if you could get Justin or Brittany into your studio? Do you think you could give him something good to put out there?
Yeah, I'd give her a good thumping. I'd probably lock her in the studio and play, I don't know, something like Kevin Key or Skinny Puppy through a massive speaker system and just do her head in until she caves in, goes crazy again. I'll give her something to go crazy about. She deserves it. I mean, come on. Take away her record, she's still just a shopping mall mother, you know.
What's your favorite time of day?
My favorite time of day, I like early evening when the sun's setting. I like the light. Otherwise, I tend to like sort of 3 and 5 o'clock in the morning as well, when I'm still up working on music. I just find it's a very creative time for me, because I get a lot of energy from the night time. I think I just, it inspires me, and I don't know, it's just something about the energy that I get from the light and the early evening is just spellbinding when you're watching the London sunset, because we get a massive orange, opal, pink, yellow skies here. And, you know, living in a metropolis where everything's so dirty and noisy and you've got this amazing sky, I tend to find that quite inspirational.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if the problem being were to be the new voice of the tube system, what would you tell your passengers?
Get up, there's a bomb, hurry! Panic! Oh, sorry, no, lies. mind the gap between your ears.
Oh, good. Very good.
Stop reading the adverts on the trains, they will watch your mind, seriously.
So I understand that that woman whose voice was recorded on all the tube announcements got fired. Is that true?
One of the... Yes. Apparently, she was slagging off the tube system of the bosses or something, because she's got that voice.
Yeah.
And I think she came out publicly on her website or something, so they had her removed. I think that's ridiculous,
is
you know.
There a new
I mean,
voice?
She's only speaking the truth, really, you know. It is overly expensive and absolutely mental. If you go down there and you're just trying to get to a job or something, forget it, you know. It's like being buried alive in public. Don't come to London. You'll hate it, though.
Have they re-recorded all of the announcements? Is it a new voice now? Or is it the same?
To be honest, when you're bombarded with so many images and noises and things, I mean, even on the bus now, you get a voice telling you which stop you're at, you know, not to smoke and all this every few minutes, every few seconds even. So I kind of blot it out, so I wouldn't even be able to tell you. You know, I just find it a real intrusion onto my sort of psyche, you know, just to put up with this nonsense. I mean, we just live in such an age where, you know, copyright is such an issue, and you get all these corporations suing smaller people for using their images, but no one asks us if we want those images broadcast to us on a day-to-day basis, you know, so I find that that's an infringement of my personal psychological copyright. I think they've got a lot to answer for, you know. To me, it's a grey area, though.
All right. That's a good
if
one.
If we use that last quote, please don't sue us for copyright violations.
Sue me.
Do you believe in ghosts?
I've spoken to a ghost. Last year, very strange. So I was lying in bed and I just heard this movement around my room. I was like half asleep, you know, just coming out of the sleep. And I was like looking through my half closed eyes, and that was that. And I could see something or someone moving around and things moving, like books and things. And I just thought someone was in the room, you know, so it was one of my friends. It just turned out it wasn't. And I kind of went back to sleep going, no, nonsense. And then I just felt this incredible sense of fear, and I just felt this thing had sort of acknowledged that I was awake, and then I just felt that this thing sat on my bed, and I was really shitting myself, you know. <Pretty more. laughs> And I thought, it's going to say something. And it was very sweet. It just said, hello. And I thought, no, this is ridiculous, you know. And but it was like as if you could hear it, you know, not inside your head or anything schizoid like that, but actually in the room. And then I just ignored it, and it said, hello. And I kind of, at this stage, I just felt relaxed suddenly. I just didn't feel scared anymore. I just went, hello. And it mumbled something, and then it said, I'm here. Said, I'm here, and I'm going to be a player. And then someone walked through the door. And it just disappeared completely. There was nothing there, no one there in the room. And it was very, very intense, you know. It wasn't something... I mean, I know the extent of my imagination. I like to think that I am pretty in touch with my imagination and what I'm able to kind of create, you know, and I certainly didn't feel that I had created that. Mm-hmm. But it was a very interesting experience. But that's just one of many, many weird experiences that I've had over the years. I've had a near-death experience, and I was in hospital, and I died. And I was resuscitated.
How
in
did
the
you
ambulance.
Die? Can I ask?
And before that happened, I had my great-grandparents come out for white light and say, now's not your time, you have much to do. And the weird thing is, there was a TV show on in this country, on the BBC, I think it was, and it was about a psychic detective. And one of the characters asked her, so how did you get your psychic abilities? She said, well, I died. And I thought, well, oh, hello. You know, cause, I mean, up to that point, it had been pretty ridiculous. And I kind of sat up and took notice. I was like, ooh, what's she going to say? And she said, yeah, I died. And when I was dead, I had a white light, and out of this white light came my auntie. And I thought, she's going to say it. And then she said, but the auntie said to her, now's not your time, you have work to do. And it's almost verbatim to what happened with me. Mm-hmm. And that just cemented in my mind what I'd experienced wasn't just something that was internal, it was something that not only I myself has experienced, but other people. So that must have been very well researched, I think. But, yeah, there's definitely something out there, but I'm not going to say these things are ghosts or these things are that or these things are this. It's pretty subjective, so I don't like to label things. I think that's dangerous. I think that's where religion comes from, dangerous thinking. So, yeah, that's my story.
And you're sticking to it.
But yeah, absolutely. I don't care, and I'm not apologetic for my experiences, and people can make of it what they will, but, I think the only true knowledge is experiential knowledge, you know, things you actually experience, but labelling them is a different ball game. Mm-hmm. So I got very serious there.
Can I ask, do you mind me asking one more question related to that?
And you don't ask me whatever you like.
You don't have to answer this one, but we're just curious. How did you die?
I still, to this day, do not know. I had all these blood tests. It was very, very strange. I just collapsed.
Wow.
And it was around at some friend's place, and I just fell down, like, cold. And, you know, no reason, you know. I hadn't done drugs or drank that much. I just passed out and stopped breathing. It's really weird because I remember lying on the floor, my eyes were fixed open, and I could hear everything. And I could see shadows of people and hear what they were saying, and one person was saying his heart stopped. And I couldn't do a thing about it. I was just lying there and sort of drifting off, really. It's quite pleasant. You know, you've got these people screaming, crying and shouting, and all you can do is nothing. And it just didn't seem to matter, really. Yeah. Very, very peculiar.
And did your grandparents look the way you remembered them, too?
They looked younger.
And they had clothes on and everything?
I mean, I knew my great-grandfather, but I didn't know my great-grandma, but I recognized them instantly.
Oh.
It's just very, very strange, yeah.
Thanks. You don't meet too many people that have that story.
Well, you know, lighting it up now would be something frivolous.
Yeah, we better get back to that.
Yeah.
All right, so I always ask my musicians these, and the first one is, do you have any slang terms that you overuse? Slang terms, like popular phrases.
Popular phrases?
Mm-hmm.
That I use?
Yeah, something you overuse that you wish you didn't say.
Oh, God, too many rude ones. And I think, I don't know, I try not to, but I tend to say shiz a lot, shizzle. and I go oi a lot for some reason. And I swear like a trooper, I'm trying not to, because I think that swear words should be used for impact. Not in regular conversation. Otherwise, they just lose their punch. The phrases, I don't know. I mean, you pick up these things, and it's usually through friends that I find hysterically funny. That's a word I use a lot, hysterical, actually. There's one. But I do pick up on people's humour a lot, and I do kind of imbibe it into my own sort of vocabulary, which is a bit naughty, because I feel a bit like a plagiarist or something, stealing their words. But I tend to pick up things that make me laugh, definitely.
Okay, and what's your drink of choice?
Anything. Not fussy. At the moment, I've been drinking some rum punch at the studio, so it's quite nice. But I tend to like sweet drinks or beer. Has to be said.
Okay, and how do you...
I like German beer. German beer is the best. Doesn't give you a hangover.
Oh,
good to know.
I know.
Try it. Not my export rubbish, the proper stuff.
And how do you feel about eyeliner?
How do I feel about...
Eyeliner?
Eyeliner? Compulsory, absolutely. I used to wear a T-shirt, some dodgy goth band T-shirt. I just liked it because it had on the front, real men wear eyeliner. I love that.
That's our motto.
I completely concur. I mean, I don't wear it all the time, but, you know, obviously with band stuff. I mean, I used to wear it all the time, but now, as you get older, you kind of don't need to, really. So, but on stage, makeup is a must, absolutely. Bit of glam. I mean, everything is so dull and boring. When you go to see a band, you don't want to see a bunch, you know, four guys standing there in their duffel coats, you know. You want to see someone who's putting on the show, and that includes sort of dressing up like a clown. And, you know, I enjoy wearing makeup. I think men should have more freedom to wear it if they want to, you know, whether or not it be on stage or in their day-to-day life. I think that's fine. I don't think people should be gender-specific with the way they look all the time. It's very boring.
Our final request, it's not really a question, it's more of a request. Will you please give us your very best impression of a pirate?
Oh, God. How do you fancy a Jolly Roger? Darn, Jolly Roger.
You've been practicing that.
There you go. Sold out for you guys. I hope you're impressed.
I'm very impressed. That was a good one.
Teens of things they've seen in magazines. Maybe cut some mullets, it's all in. Taste the bracelets.